الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء اكرام, elders, brothers and young ones in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. From one of the advices, the guidances that has been stressed upon us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the recitation of Suratul Kahf on the day of Friday. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala an narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who recites the first 10 verses of Suratul Kahf, then this will be a protection for him against Dajjal. In another riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who recites the last 10 verses, then it will be a protection. In some narrations, the words appear that they will be a noor for him, and that noor will protect him against the fitna of Dajjal. And in yet another riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the person who recites the entire Suratul Kahf from beginning to end, then there will be a noor from his feet right up until the heavens. And he will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. So, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, a very, very great alim and scholar and da'i of the ummah who recently, meaning a few years ago, 10 odd years ago, passed away. He said that my mother used to emphasize upon me the recitation of Suratul Kahf from the time I was a kid. And this is a lesson for each and every parent that is in the gathering today. In fact, I remember as children, we learned the recitation, we by hearted Suratul Kahf purely because there was emphasis from my mother to listen to the tape. So listening to the tape, and automatically it became easy to my heart. Nevertheless, he says, my mother emphasized upon me to recite Suratul Kahf. And he says, as I grew older and I began studying the kitabs of hadith and I began studying ilm-e-deen, then I came across these ahadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the Suratul Kahf, and I came across the virtue of it being a protection from Dajjal, and I began thinking that what is the link between this surah, why specifically this surah, and protection from Dajjal. So he says, I began pondering, and for a long period of time, I pondered upon the various ayat, various verses, incidents that appear in the surah, and he said, I came to the conclusion that the surah can be summarized, the message of the surah can be summarized in one sentence. And that is the sentence by which he has named his kitab, which is a short tafsir of Suratul Kahf. He says that it can be summarized in Arabic as As-sira' bayn al-iman wal-maddiya. The message of Suratul Kahf. And this is that message which will be a means for our protection from Dajjal. Indeed, recitation on its own, that is of great benefit. But surely Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also intended us to understand the message. And through the recitation, we would have had the tawfiq of practicing upon that message in order to make it possible for us to carry out those actions that will become a means for protecting us from the fitna of Dajjal. So what was the message? The message was that this surah deals with the struggle, the battle, the constant tension between a person's iman and materialism. In other words, to put it in more simple terms, between the dictates of iman, the dictates of a believer believing in the hereafter, believing in accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that one day he is going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Jannat, in Jahannam. And when we say believing in, we don't just merely mean saying and accepting by lip service. Because if we really believe these things, then it will have an impact. It will have a direct consequence on the way we do our dealings. It will have a direct consequence on how we interact with one another, how we treat other people, how we engage in our commercial dealings. So, this struggle between iman, a person's iman, the dictates of his iman, and the dictates of materialism or the attraction to the things of this world is what is the underlying message of the surah of the Quran Kareem. But let us not leave it there. Let me take it one step further. Even if we recite the entire Quran Kareem from cover to cover, and this is something that today sitting in this gathering we must make, each and every one of us must make a niyat, that even at least one ayat of the Quran, let us recite with reflection. Let us recite with understanding the meaning. Open it, read the one ayat of the Quran and think about what is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving. If we don't understand it, then refer to the proper tafaseer. There are some ayat of the Quran that are very easy for everyone to understand. The signs in the heavens and the earth. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other ayat which we need to refer to the ulama and the authentic tafaseer. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens in the opening verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this message. He says that, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spells out the maqsad, the objective, the purpose of the creation of all these material things in the world. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Whatever is on the earth. You can ask those who understand Arabic the word ma. Ma includes everything. Whether it be animate or inanimate, whether it be gold or silver, whether it be status, property, possessions, aspirations, status, lineage, everything. مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. We have made it as a beautification for this earth. But why? For what purpose? لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So that we may test which of the people that come upon this, on the surface of this earth, are the best in as far as actions. So, what is the Qur'an Kareem telling us? In other words, it's there to see action, so is it giving us a message that we must get involved in the accumulation, in the amassing of the things of this world? Immediately the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to the temporary nature of these things. وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, let it be known, whatever is upon it, لَجَاعِلُونَ, we will be making it into صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا, into a flat and a barren plain. An absolutely barren, an absolutely useless piece of land. So everything that we have, all the material things, are simply to test us in as far as our actions go. And this is what the message of Surah Al-Kahf goes. And this is the message that if we make amal upon it, if we take it deep down into the crevices of our hearts, and our actions and our limbs and bodies begin living a life according to this, then these are those people that will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. These are those people that will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again in Surah Al-Kahf, this was the opening verses, and reminding us again of the main message, towards the end, the last ruku of Surah Al-Kahf, he says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ask these people, that should I tell you who's the biggest loser? هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا أَلَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those who wasted away their lives and their efforts in the pursuit and in the amassing and in the accumulation of the things of this world. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. But they were under the impression that they were achieving very, very great things. They were doing very, very, they were becoming very, very productive. Very, very wealthy. They amassed great degrees and positions and status. So this is the very, very important message. And then quickly, just to go through some of the incidents that highlight this message. There are four incidents. If we have time, we'll try and cover all of them. The first incident is this incident of the youth of the cave, Ashabul Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to them, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَنَّ دُعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. هؤلاء قوم اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا. They were in a time when the king of that time was forcing the people to commit shirk. So what did they do? What was the dictates of that time? The Mufassireen say that these youngsters were from no ordinary household. They were wealthy people, people of status in society. But when the clash came, when that battle came between the dictates of their iman and the dictates of what society wanted or expected from them, and those things were contradictory to each other, then they chose, فَأَوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. They chose to take refuge in a cave, and they had full conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread out, يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. And all types of benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them in the middle of a cave. In the middle of a cave where one could have expected nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them all sorts of blessings. Various blessings are mentioned in the Qur'an al-Kareem. The sun would not hit them. They would turn around automatically in their sleep. Although they were sleeping, the Qur'an says for 300 lunar years or 309 solar years. 300 years they lay resting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain arrangements for their protection also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوِطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even if you had to see them, He tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you had to see them, if you had to come across them, then you would have turned away running in awe from them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that state that they were helpless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. Hazrat Maha Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, a verse of poetry comes to mind. He says that, فِدَا أُنْكِ مَرْزِي پِ أَبْنِي رَزَاكَرْ فدا ان کی مرضی پہ اپنی رضا کر فقیری میں دیکھے گا سلطانیہ ہے. Your job, O servant of Allah, is to sacrifice your desires for the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what will happen? فقیری میں دیکھے گا. In outward, in apparent, in manifest poverty, in what appears to be difficulty, you will see that there will be kingdoms. And in your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give such experiences. Hazrat Maulana, we haven't even experienced it, but people like Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, we could see it on his face. We could see the kind of ecstasy that he would get when making dua in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the lesson of the Ashabul Kahf, the youngsters. Obviously very many, there are many other lessons also, but the main lesson was to, when the clash came between the dictates of their iman, the dictates of following the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the dictates of society, or the pressures, what we sometimes, the youth of today talk about, the peer pressures. They say that the environment is so difficult. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mufti Shafi Sahib Uthmani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say that, Zamana hum ko badle ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana hum ko badle ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. The fact that this environment, and we're complaining all the time about environment and peer pressures, that this has the ability to effect a change in us, this doesn't fit with my understanding and my logic. The environment is made through us. The environment is made through us, and we are not made through the environment. And the message for this is that every single person must look into and reflect over their own lives and see what are those actions that I need to rectify. Where are those things which I need to make islah of? The next story in Surah Al-Kahf, again emphasizing this message about the struggle that will take place in this dunya between the dictates of your iman and the dictates of materialism or the dunya. The next story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابِ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that give them the example of the two men. For one of them we gave him gardens, two gardens. And what type of gardens were these? These were no ordinary gardens. حَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلِ. We gave him gardens that were absolutely lush. We gave him in that dates and grapevines, and rivers would flow from within that. But what happens? The automatic, and this is again a lesson, the automatic consequence of material, the accumulation of material things, is that if a person is not careful upon what is going on in the heart, and if those things begin to enter the heart, then he begins to look down upon those besides, those others around him. So he says, قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. He tells his companion, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. I have more wealth and more power, more influence, more status. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. He became so intoxicated with the material things of this world. And what was it? It was merely two gardens. Yes, in the eyes of the people of this world, very, very beautiful, but they were two simple gardens. In the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a king who ruled over the entire world, Dhul-Qarnayn. What are we worried about our properties, 5 properties and 10 properties? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a king who ruled over the entire world. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, I'll digress for a moment and cover that story quickly, that's the last story of Surah Al-Kahf. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this king such power, he traveled the east and the west, it was all under his control. And he comes to this one place where the people complain about the tribe of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, who will be the tribe that will come out on the day of Qiyamah. Just before the day of Qiyamah, one of the major signs of Qiyamah. And these people that are living in that area, they request him to build a wall. And he builds a wall that was an engineering feat of the time. Open the Quran Kareem and read about the exact description of how that wall was actually made. But at the end of it, he utilized massive resources for the time. He had a lot of power under him, but he was a pious king, and he realized at the end of it all, he said, فَمَا اسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبًا. The Quran says it was such a wall between two mountains. We talk about the wall of China, we talk about this wall. Can you imagine a wall that covers between two mountains? فَمَا اسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبًا. But the lesson is what? قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. This is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever power I have, whatever resources I have, whatever abilities I have, this all goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Aqsar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says repeatedly this ayat of the Quran, each and every one of us should repeat it to ourselves. Ma asabaka min hasanatin famin Allah. Ma asabaka min hasanatin famin Allah. Whatever good comes to you, it is because of Allah. It is not because of your own good. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 18th juz of the Quran Kareem. I think it is in Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. We think we may be pious, or we think we may be spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it was not for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. What is this mercy? We talk about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Arifin have explained that this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the tawfiq, the ability, the innate pulling of a person to do those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it is. And this comes purely from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, he goes on boasting to his companion, and his companion tells him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. You're telling me that you want to disbelieve and you want to disregard the one who created you from a speck of dust, ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ, and then from a drop of sperm, and then he fashioned you into a full human being. لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. He says, as far as I'm concerned, Allahu Rabbi, Allah is my Rabb, and I will not associate any other partners with him. Now the question arises, what shirk did he commit? What shirk did he commit? Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi say that some mufassireen say, if you have to study the story, apparently there is no direct shirk that this person committed. But what did he say? He had so much of confidence in the outward things of this world. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. I've got wealth, I've got status, I've got power. I don't need anything else. Everything happens through these things here. Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi says that one explanation is that this person committed the shirk of believing that the asbab, the things, the means of this world take precedence over the musabbibul asbab, the cause, the effective cause, the one who gives those means the ability to have the effect that they have. So this was the shirk that he made. So what happened then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِي فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in two words, the Qur'an al-Kareem tells us what happened. Such a big empire, so much of wealth, so much of status. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِي. And his properties, his status, his wealth, his ego, it was all afflicted by the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Literally it means وَأُحِيطَ. His profits, or what he thought was of benefit to him, immediately it was surrounded by the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ. He began turning his hands out of regret. He began turning his palms and rubbing his palms out of absolute remorse and regret. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And he said, oh, how I wish I did not associate any partners with Allah. In other words, I wish I did not put these material things, give them precedence over the commands and over the recognition of the might and the true, the musabbibul asbab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very, very beautifully, linking this one story to life in general on this world. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And I'll terminate on this. كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ. Give them the example of the life of this world. What is it? كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. This is no ordinary example. Respected elders and brothers, this example appears many, many times. Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it in the Qur'an al-Kareem, which means we need to reflect over it. We need to think, what is the message? كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. It is like water that comes down from the sky. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. And it mixes with the crops of this world, of the earth. And those crops become absolutely ripe, and everything looks nice and rosy, and everything looks prosperous and full of progress. And immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one word, from that state, فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ. It comes down, it becomes like shaft, it becomes like straw, تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ, which the wind is able to scatter. It becomes absolutely useless. In other words, it's so temporary. And this is the life of this world. This is the message of Surah Al-Kahf. And this is the conviction, this is the reality, that when it comes into our heart, this state of iman is what will protect a person from that dajjal, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about. That if we recite this surah, we need to also reflect upon it, and then we will have the tawfiq of being protected from the fitna of dajjal. And to end off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I just mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that same page says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ. Those good deeds that remain forever, those pious deeds, خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Yes, we need to live in this world. No one is saying become an ascetic, become a zahid. No. My Shaykh Mahakim Abdul Khasad Damud Barakatum, he says, دُنْيَا كِ مَشْغَلُوْ مَي بِي وَبَا خُدَا رَهَ. Amongst the clamor and the crowds of this world, the Ahl-e-Dil, they remain focused with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَبْكَ سَاتْ رَحْكَ بِي سَبْسَ جُدَى رَحَى. They are with everyone, but yet at the same time they are detached from everyone. And Allama Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi says very, very beautifully, he says that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا فُطَنَا طَلَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some very, very intelligent people. Our idea of intelligence is something, but the real intelligent people are these people. طَلَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا. They've given talaq to the dunya. What does talaq to the dunya mean? Does it mean don't drive a car, don't get married, don't do business? No. نَظَرُوا فِيهَا فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ لِحَيٍّ وَطَنًا. They reflected over the dunya, and when they realized that it is not a place of everlasting abode, جَعَلُوهَا لُجَّةً. They treated it like a deep ocean. وَاتَّخَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفُنًا. And they made their good actions the boat upon that ocean. In other words, they lived in this world. The water stays outside of the ship. It helps it to reach its destination. But the moment it gets inside, then you and I know what happens to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. May He remove the difficulties, the calamities and the hardships facing the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.